Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes. And it seems like my phone just went awfully quiet. I'm not sure if you're hearing me.
You're loud and clear, sweetie.
Okay, awesome. It's just like my phone all of a sudden just totally went silent. So today is Wednesday, July the 30th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. And July the 30th, we're halfway through another year in our eternal lives. How awesome is that? And we are blessed that you choose to take your time to join us in this process of learning, of teaching, of understanding, and applying, in particular, the first century Aramaic technology of forgiveness. One of the things I haven't mentioned in a while, and as I was doing it today, it just like I should bring it up again, and that is set the alarm on your phone for 5 minutes before the show. Now, if you've got the alarm on so that you listen to the show, or maybe sometimes you forget because you don't have the alarm on, but, you know, pretty much everybody's got a cell phone now with an alarm in it. Put your alarm on 5 minutes before the show, and when the alarm goes off, make that a space that you take out of your day, and you just get quiet for 5 minutes and do a love exchange with the show and everybody on it. As we build this space, this energy of a community that's focused in bringing forward, as imperfectly as we do it, the active presence of love. As we join in bringing that forward energetically, the support, the energy that moves for each person is just awesome. We were having someone here in a conversation in the intensive yesterday or the day before yesterday, we were talking about this full-blown opening and experience of the active presence of love and how much easier it is to have that experience when you're connected in with a group of people who are moving in that direction, doing what it takes to produce that, and or who've had that experience that can open that space for it. You know, you go back and you hear a story about Paul, and it sounds like some sort of magical thing, but there's nothing magical about that full-blown light experience. It is designed for each and every one of us, and actually it's designed for us to live out of that total physiological presence of love, active in us and literally radiating from us. And in fact, if you go back, if you take out, let's let go of the religious significance that's been given teachings that aren't religious, that are just about how life works, and you hear the Greeks, through the Greek translations, you hear them talk about this thing called the kingdom of heaven, like it's some kind of space off somewhere, you know, in some afterlife or whatever. But if you go to the Aramaic, they were talking the here and now. You know, Yeshua says, you know, if somebody tells you it's over there, don't believe a word they've got to say. It's all garbage. He says, it's here. It's now. It's within you. It's designed to live. And so those words that have been translated, the kingdom of heaven, really translate out of the Aramaic in our language much, much more correctly and accurately as the community of love. So we just invite you to take 5 minutes every day, 5 days a week. We actually do it at 8 o'clock, too, so you might think about setting the alarm for 8 o'clock. There's a group of people who are engaging in that. And just take that 5 minutes to just tap in and purposely, consciously, you know, if your day is busy and you're focused on other things or there are other things going on or other things coming up, just take 5 minutes and focus into that presence of love that we are designed to be powered by. And watch how it changes the rest of your day and how it changes the world around you and life around you. It's pretty awesome to see how that happens. And, of course, the more you tap into that, the more you'll get opportunities to look at the things in yourself that don't support that. And that's where the forgiveness process comes in. That as you know, when you say to yourself, gee, when I held the newborn, it was this awesome active presence of love, I've heard that tens of thousands of other people say that's their experience of the newborn. Who? Michael Rice says that means that we are made of the stuff called love. Yes, that's what I offer to you. And so if you're made of the stuff called love, why aren't you living it if you're not? And if you're not, what do you have to do to live it, to really truly live as this awesome presence of love that you and I are designed to be? And so one of the things that supports that is being together with a community. And this community that's developing through the radio show, you know, we're hearing from people all over the globe. We are delighted, and we're here to support you and be part of the process. So we appreciate you being with us. Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
I just finished a session where the topic was how to get into a healthier relationship pattern. And it was with somebody whose experience, they would rate their parents' relationship on a scale of 1 to 10, they would rate their parents' relationship as a 1 or a 1.5. And they were having some difficulty sorting out why they haven't had satisfactory relationships in their life, and so we talked about the file folder effect. And we talked about resonance, and we talked about how large and deep and expansive their file folder on abusive relationships is, or relationships that they would rate at a 1.5 on a scale of 0 to 10, and how large their file folder is in their mind for healthy relationships, how many movies they've seen where people meet and fall in love and live happily ever after, and how much energy and data is in that file folder compared to their file folder on relationships that are 1.5 on a scale of 0 to 10. So that was what was going on for me right before the show, and I just thought that might be a good topic for you to touch on again, since it's been a while since I've heard you talk about resonance and file folders and relative size of data banks. And
I don't know, Tim, if you've heard what I do in workshops where, and we actually did it here the day before yesterday, and it was really powerful. We're doing, you know, we're in the middle of a codependence to interdependence communication practicum, and it was really a powerful impact on the group. And basically what I did was I asked everybody to rate their mother and their father, and, you know, drew the little stick figure that I draw. On one side I've got dad, the other side I got mom. And so if you rated just not necessarily their relationship, but their level of aliveness and happiness in life on a scale of 1 to 10. So we did a number for mom and dad, and then now let's drop the figures down, and let's do dad's mom and dad and rate where you think they were, and then mom's mom and dad, and then let's do another two, and then, you know, great-grandparents, you know, mom and dad's, moms and dad's, moms and dad, you know, doing that, and then looking at three or four generations, and then just looking, well, okay, if you take this average, if you've ever wondered why you feel like you feel about life, this is what carbon-based memory will tell you life is supposed to feel like, the average of that. And if the average is a 3, then, you know, people who live at a 3 when the scale is to 10 and we're designed to live at a 10, they kind of have thoughts about life like, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's like, it's hopeless. I'm helpless. It just seems that no matter what I do, I can't change what's going on out there. And I'm in such turmoil and pain about it. And so, you know, a fifth of scotch or 4 cups of coffee or the best junk food I can find, or I go to the doctor and get vitamin D, Valium, you know, and I don't know why I feel this way. And then what the vitamin D does is it opens the mind to, well, things like maybe I should just destroy myself. You know, the suicidal thoughts that come, the homicidal thoughts that come. You know, all these kids that have done you know, mass murders in schools and such, if you look, and of course they're now using privacy rules to say, oh, we can't tell you that, but they've all been on psychotropic medication. I mean, it's right down the line. And that just opens the mind to the inability to resist those kinds of crazy thoughts, and, you know, things get crazy. And the person who says, well, you know, I look at the average and, you know, I feel pretty good about life, and if I look at mom and dad, the average is a 7. So, yeah, well, naturally I feel pretty cool about life. And people who are at a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 5 because they don't have tools, it seems like there's just, you know, like nothing they can do about it. And, you know, there's a section in the front of my book called Life Without Tools. And the trauma that life without tools is for most people. And I frankly don't know how so many people make it through the day without a way to handle the stresses and strains that come from the goals that that they load into their minds that bring forward all kinds of generational drama and trauma, and without the skills and the tools to work through that. And, of course, that's why we do what we do, and we certainly appreciate you doing what you do to support and move that forward. But, you know, when we're finished our intensive season here, we'll actually be on the road the next week up to St. Louis, and then the next week we'll be seeing you in Illinois, and then we'll be over to Michigan. We'll be doing an intensive in Michigan. We'll be heading to Florida. And the reason we're going to do that is because we want to open the space for the healing of the insanity on the planet. In fact, I might invite anybody who wants to give a listen to it. There are 2 chapters of a new book that I've started but kind of put on the back shelf right now. There's so much else on the plate, called The End of Suffering, Resurrecting the Original Aramaic Yeshua. And, you know, it's a book that starts out where, and if you go to the audio downloads, you can just download it free and give a listen to the first couple of chapters. But it's written very much in the format of why is this happening to me again, only the conversation, instead of being between me and this character Richard, the conversation is between Yeshua and, you know, perhaps me or a character. And the character, much like Richard, is asking Yeshua questions. And Yeshua starts out saying, you know, why are we doing this drama and trauma thing when we're designed for something else? I said, love those who hate you, do good to those who despitefully use you. But trapped as they were in the commandments of men, they could not hear my words. It's time for my words to be heeded. And then the book goes through and starts to elucidate on what Yeshua actually said about how to live your life, as opposed to the people in the ivory towers who are doing all the theological discussions about theology and high-minded doctrine and dogma while they live in their rage and their pain and their guilt and their grief and their fear, and talk about the Creator called love as some sort of an offender that's out to get them. And, you know, the insanity of all that, just how far we are from our natural condition. And what Yeshua was saying is, well, you know, kind of be like a little child. Get back to the active presence of love. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you've got to have forgiveness. Without it, can't go there. And we see so many people carrying around so many bags of garbage, and because they don't have forgiveness, they create all kinds of high-minded philosophies and doctrines and sophisticated theological ideas, but all of those are stacked right on top of their guilt, their grief, their fear, their rage, their pain, their generational patterns. No idea how to remove those things. All you can do is philosophize and, you know, and so on. But take that tool of forgiveness, and anybody, of course, who would like to bring that tool forward into your world, we're here to give it to you free. You can go to our website. Our website is www.whyagain.org. We want you to be successful at using the tools. There's a bullseye in the middle of the page. You hit the bullseye, it'll open a series of links. Here's how you remove every piece of generational content that never belonged in your mind. Then there are at least a dozen radio shows you can just right-click on. They're MP3s. You can download them. They're free. They're right there in that list of links under the bullseye. Start listening. Start doing the process. If you're having challenges, you need to know more, you need to refine your understanding, we're here 5 days a week for a personal conversation. That's why I'm here. That's why Jeannie's here. That's why Dr. Tim is here. That's why Michelle comes to the show. That's why Rex is here. You know, everybody, Mark comes and plays, who brings forward these tools, and we want to support you in doing that. So it's an honor and a privilege for everybody who chooses to join us. And when you recognize that those generational patterns, and, you know, that show last week, that piece, that, you know, I think you talked about it, and then we brought up this this piece where the psychologists, the researchers are saying, my goodness, geneticists are going, oh, my God, look what happened. We took a rat, and we shocked it when we brought cherry blossom in front of it. So the smell of a cherry blossom, and we shocked the rat. And then we had the rat have children, and we took their babies, and we put the smell of the cherry blossom near them, and oh my God, their babies were afraid of the cherry blossom smell. Fear came forward. We looked into their brains, and their brains were changed. We looked into their genetics, and their gene structure was changed. Yes, it's all energy. It all changes with every influence that comes in. They've been teaching that for over 2,000 years in the Aramaic. 2,000 years ago, they said the sins of the fathers are passed into 3 and 4 generations. If people don't know that, they put a barrier down and they try to live above it like it's not there, like it doesn't impact them. And it impacts everything. And so to recognize that is changeable. And I haven't found anybody in the modern world can hand us a direct tool for here's precisely how you go in and you change that. But you can go back 2,000 years ago in the first century Aramaic language, and Yeshua precisely defined, described, and showed how to use the tool. That's what we're teaching. That's the process of forgiveness. So we're looking to turn the idea of forgiveness around in the culture from the Greek idea, you did something so terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay, I'll be big about it, I'll forgive you. We want to get rid of that idea. That's one of the most sophisticated lies there is. Nobody can cause you to feel anything. If you're feeling it, it's yours. If you don't recognize why it's yours, good chance it's a generational influence. Just like the shocked rat had offspring, who had offspring that were still frightened by the presence of the smell, cherry blossom. If you have fears and phobias and terrors and traumas and rages and guilts and griefs and pains about anything in your world, or your mind tells you it's about something in your world. You know, we could have a conversation with the rat offspring, and the rat offspring might say, my goodness, I just don't understand why I'm so afraid of the smell of a cherry blossom. I guess, you know, it just must be a natural thing for rats to have. You know, we have physicians that tell us that a fear response in a human child is natural. That's just garbage. The rat conversation that says, I guess it's just natural for us rats to fear the smell of a cherry blossom, has no idea that an energy was inflicted on a previous generation, and that energy was an energy that didn't belong in the structure. An energy that doesn't belong in your structure in Aramaic is called sin. The sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, unto 3 and 4 generations, is not a theological threat. Information is how it works. So when the rat says, I guess it just must be natural for us rats. You know, I talked to my son, and my son has the same fear of cherry blossom smell, so I guess it must just be kind of a rat thing. The scientist could say, actually, Mr. Rat, actually, son of Mr. Rat, I've got to plead that I'm the guilty party. I actually took your grandfather, son, and your father, and I'm really ashamed I did this, but here's what I did. They had never smelled a cherry blossom before. I brought the cherry blossom smell to their nose, and as soon as they started to smell it, I gave them a painful shock. And you know what? I deformed your brains with it, boys. I deformed your brains. If you are living in some form of hostility or fear, if some stimulus like the cherry blossom comes, now, in the human realm, you know, the same conversation. This is the ignorant rat who doesn't know that they've been stopped. We hear people talk about the battle of the sexes. Well, I guess it's just natural for men and women to want to fight with each other. It's an age-old battle. And we could say to the person who would believe that to be true, well, Mr. or Mrs., thinking that the battle of the sexes is natural, I must plead guilty. I am your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And I raged that and murdered your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. And now, when a stimulus happens for you 100 generations later, that resonates my voice of rage, then you will rage at the women in your life. No different than the cherry blossom shock. And if you don't know any better, then you'll go, well, I guess it's just natural to rage at people of the opposite sex. I guess that's just part of relationships. That's the way it is. Just like the rat might say, well, I guess that's part of, you know, living in a world of cherry blossoms. You just have terror sometimes when you get the smell or the whiff of that cherry blossom. Neither one has any clue that they can change what's in the structure because we haven't been given the tool of forgiveness. That's why, if you are on our path, we're actually going to be heading to Illinois, Michigan, Florida, and you'd like us to come and present, and you've got a group of people who are interested in learning this technology, we will pay our own expenses. We'll present the workshops free. If you can fit into our path of travel, we'll be there. We'll be in Florida, and we'll present to your community, and we'll put forward this technology. It's time for the insanity, as the title of that new book that I suggest you might want to listen to, The End of Suffering, Resurrecting the Original Aramaic Yeshua the Christ. Guess what? He wasn't a religious figure. He knew how to get rid of the shock, the pain of the shock that was given when the cherry blossom smell was put in front of the rat's nose. He knows how to do that, taught us how to do that. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he wasn't talking about his persona, his personality. In fact, if you listen to his words, he says, if I come in my own name, I am a false prophet. You can listen to his words. You can deny me. But I'm looking to connect you with the one that can heal you. Don't deny that one or you're in trouble. I mean, the whole thing is just, here's how it works. So if you have the generational inclination toward the fear of cherry blossoms, get the worksheets out, start forgiving, and watch how your life changes. It's absolutely monumental. And that's what we're here to talk about. You probably didn't expect that when you asked the question, did you, Tim?
I've been around long enough that, yes, I did.
Anything can happen.
beautifully said.
So what thoughts do you have on that one? Where does that one take you?
Well, my thought is, let's see if there's anybody on the call. I mean, that's enough to generate several hands up, I would guess.
I would hope so. We're just, I mean, the intensive is moving the energy. Last night, yesterday, we did a mind shifter. Yesterday, we started a class out, and it just, a storm of things came up. We breathed, and the space opened, and then there's a film that we've talked about in the past on the show called Orphans, which is just so powerful. And so I can't wait to get to class at 2 o'clock to process that film, because last night it was getting kind of late when we finished, so we just watched the film and called it a night. But I can't wait to process what, after everybody, we're working with the power person dynamic and really just getting down, inviting each person to identify their power person dynamic and how it's impacted their life and such. And so watching this film, which is all about power person, and then how the kid who seems to be retarded, the film demonstrates pretty clearly that he's not retarded, he's just been deprived for information, and how he learns actually from a gangster who kind of adopts these two orphans, he learns how to be a healer, and his brother, who's the raging control freak, this, you know, right toward the end, all of a sudden, the brother who rages drops his rage, drops his guard, gets in touch with his pain, and is just, I mean, the demonstration in the film is so powerful, because this kid is Mr. Wise Guy, Mr. Smart Aleck, and, you know, he's got life all handled, but when the event happens that puts him directly in touch with what he's been in denial of, I mean, he and it's played by Matthew Modine, so it's pretty powerful, and he literally, as he gets in touch with his emotional pain, starts to clutch in his stomach and gets in touch with his physical pain, and he just rolls and screams in trauma and pain. And his brother, who has been his victim, the older brother was power person to the younger brother, who seemed retarded, but the younger brother's been watching this gangster who brings to them the presence of love. It's just such a powerful scene. Because the brother who's always been victimized and beat up by his older brother, once his older brother gets in touch with his trauma and his pain and he's rolling on the floor, he just goes over and he grabs him and he just hugs him and he holds him. And he holds him. And he holds him until the kid starts to process out of his pain. It's such an awesome film. So I'm excited about getting ready to process that, and maybe there are some folks from the intensive on the show. So let's check with the phone lines and see what's happening. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue?
We actually have a couple hands up, and the first one, I believe, is Rex. Welcome to the show, Rex.
Hi, friends.
Hey there, young man. Welcome.
I just wanted to do a quick review on the program and our support group.
Yes.
We had a wonderful support group last night, and we, like last time, just went into a series of worksheets, and like Tim, you've mentioned so many times what happens in a support group when one person opens it up, other people in the group go, oh, I can resonate with that. My goodness, that's what I'm feeling too, and next thing you know, we're all doing worksheets, and there's all sorts of emotions and tears, and it was really powerful because we were able to just be together, and you talked about a couple things that resonated with me, Michael. I mean, a lot of it is, all of it's good, but two specific things, when you talked about the rat being shocked, you know, and then the association to the cherry blossom. What's that?
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Oh, that idea, it's ironic because when Journey was sick in his early days, going through his challenges mentally, it was recommended because the Sparrow Hospital is a research center for shock therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, neither good nor bad, but just the idea of what would a shock to the human mind do and what kind of associations and links are made to the shock. And it just brought to my awareness the importance of bringing this work forward to the masses so that the millennium, the young people especially that are getting this material, like Dale Owen Hoffman says, are just taking off and running with it. And they're really going to be the changers and the groovers. We're out there doing the work, and it's so important to bring it forth to everyone, but especially them. So that was one of the things that came to my mind, is how archaic we are in so many ways and how we've all done that to various degrees. We've had a shock. I mean, every time my dad yelled at me, I felt a jolt of shock in my system.
Yes.
And every time I yelled at my children, I'm sure they felt a jolt of a shock in their system. And then whatever's linked to it is the undoing process. That's the work that we're doing with the forgiveness and the breathing. So the support groups are just incredible, and all of us are really actively engaged. And I also acknowledge all the participants in our group that are so conscious about and their effort of doing the work daily. I mean, Tony Hendricks got praised by four out of all of us, actually, just praised at how he's supporting and guiding and staying conscious. And then he just opened up and just, you know, was able to just see parts and heal and clear. So it's a very powerful session last night. As far as
awesome. The
prison, oh, go ahead, Michael.
No, I was just going to say awesome and ask you how the feedback went with the Laws of Living folks in the prison.
Well, I'd first like to ask if Michelle is available. Is she on the call, Jeannie?
She's in the chat room.
Are you with us, Michelle?
She's in the chat room, but I do not see her number on the phone line.
So she's listening in. I'll open, and maybe she'll come on the line if she can. And if not, she can comment in the chat room through you, Jeannie. How's that sound?
Sounds perfect.
So we delivered our evaluations to the inmates. We had the entire group back again, which was good. We had 14. We did the evaluations. We happened to see the warden skipper there at the beginning of the coming into the system, into the prison. And he actually joined us with his secretary for the first 15, 20 minutes of the class.
Awesome.
And it was awesome. And sadly enough, the warden, his boss, actually called him out, and he and his secretary had to leave shortly after they got there. But he did get to see the opening and talking about the wonderful progress the inmates have made. We did the evaluations on a one-on-one basis. We got through them all, which was pretty good for, an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 15 minutes. We were able to deal with each person individually, and they were open to it, and some of it was very personal. And I it was just the way it opened up, and they seemed to be very willing to move through it. And something happened in our conversation which was really profound. I'd like to share it with everyone. When I was opening and we were talking at the beginning of the class, I had kind of been deliberating over wanting to say something like this, but I was so appreciative as to how it came out. And what I said was, I know you guys are coming to this class because you're benefiting yourselves, and you know you've been coming for 10 months, and we're excited about that. We love your participation, your commitment to the work. But I'm just going to invite you with a challenge. And the challenge is this. Consider that you're coming to the class for you, but a much bigger picture. You're coming to the class for every inmate in this prison system. You're coming to the class for every inmate in the prison system in this country and in this world. You're coming to this class because there's a bigger picture than just you. And my challenge to you is, you may not think you need to pursue more in this work, and obviously the numbers are showing you guys are doing great work, but the bottom line is, for me, I'm inviting you to consider that you're coming to this class for everyone else in this system as well. And if you come to this class with a level of awareness that you're bringing forth, you support others getting it faster by being in the physical presence of this chapel while we're teaching. You help Mr. Shea and I, and you do a profound service to all of humanity. So I'm just going to put that challenge out, and I'm going to expect all you guys, I would invite all of you to be here next couple of weeks when we start. So we came away from that, and both Michelle and I talked about it, and we really liked how that came out. It was one of those things that was like, oh, universe is on top of it. Ruka was talking, and we were listening and sharing what she was giving us. The feedback we got was that there was one gentleman of all 14 that had a score that reflected a regression in his work. He had minus in a number of areas, especially hostility. I opened with, he was in the middle of the conversation with the session, and I asked him, I said, was there something that happened that day that was very difficult and an emotional experience for you? And he said, yes. And Michael and I had talked about this, and we figured it was. And he said, there was a situation with the staff, which I won't get into it because it gets personal, but he had a situation with the staff that one person who was an underling to another staff member, which was superior, changed the directive that was given for him and affected him greatly, even though they weren't authorized to do so. And so the experience that he had was rage. And then he came and did the evaluation. And I explained to him, and we explained to him, that that will reflect the state you're in the moment. And it won't necessarily at all reflect the growth you're going through and what you've gone through, but what it will do is it'll target you exactly where you need to do the most work anyway. So disregard the numbers, but just look at the overview as your number one challenge now is back in your face, and it's coming up because you've reached a new level of vitality and you're ready to move through another layer. And he was very receptive of that, Michael, and it was great support for you and I in that conversation we had about that prior to that. So that was
if I remember correctly, when you say that you know, an underling changed something he didn't have the right to do, and I don't have the scores in front of me, but I do know the gentleman that you're talking about, and if I remember correctly, his laws of living score went down significantly too, which reflects a mindset of victimhood. And so it can certainly, when you start, that evaluation is such an awesome tool, isn't it?
It's powerful. As I get and expand my comprehension of what the numbers represent and what they are sharing with me as a facilitator and with Michelle as a facilitator, so that we can feed it back to them is profound, Michael. It's a wonderful
thing. Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's beautiful. So I thought that was very powerful, and the overall feedback I had, almost every one of them said, we'll be back. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We are going to start our next class. We're going to be taking next Tuesday off, and our next class is going to be the following Tuesday. And we're going to be running through for 8 weeks to finish the course. So we decided, Michelle and I talked about that and decided that's when we're going to start, the way things are unfolding in our own personal lives. We're needing a week off here to regroup, and then we're going to get started again.
Sure. I understand. Well, thank you for what you're doing. And I don't know if Mary Ann is with us. I talked with Mary Ann earlier, and she had just finished. She and one or two other people are doing a training with the prison system in Asheville, North Carolina. And so I talked with her, and I asked her if she had the space.
She's on the phone.
This would be a perfect place to bring Mary Ann into the conversation. Hey there, young lady.
Hi there. It is a perfect segue for what I was going to did raise both my hands, Dr. Tim. They were definitely both up today. And so thanks for inviting me on. And we did have a two-hour tour of the Asheville Detention Center last Thursday, and I was joined by several other people who were representing NA and AA and other volunteers who were going to go into the prison system. So we had to kind of learn the protocol. And I can share that it was very intense. So, Rex, Michelle, my hat is off to you. I know firsthand what it can be like, and I'm just thrilled that you're experiencing such success. My introduction last Thursday was lots of food for thought and worksheet material. And so the place we stopped this tour and spent quite a bit of time in was a padded cell. So, being conscious of my breath, I really wanted to breathe through it and get out there as quickly as I could, but the tour guide kept talking and talking, so it really brought up the no-exit terror that many people experience, and myself included. And
you're a temporary visitor.
Pardon?
Just in the context of our earlier conversation, you're a temporary visitor in a padded cell in a prison, and you experience no exit terror. Imagine,
yep.
Put that in the context of the cherry blossom and the smell.
Yes,
what that,
exactly.
Why do the children of prisoners end up in criminality in prison? It's just, energetically, it just moves, and it's time for us to remove it. It's just, it's time to change the game.
Right. And when you and I talked earlier before the show, you said it could have been an earlier experience in the womb or something an ancestor had experienced. And so my mother did have a nervous breakdown when I was little, and she had shock therapy, which we talked about earlier. And people who are in padded cells typically are being watched to make sure they don't harm themselves or anybody else. And what I experienced in that padded cell was probably, I don't know if I'm making it up, but what came to my mind was the pain that my mother suffered. And it was just really an opportunity to do a worksheet. And like I answered truthfully when you asked me, had I done one, I said sheepishly, no. And then you said that song slips off sliding away. But I do have my worksheet right in front of me. And so it's a great tool for healing, great, great tool. And I want to thank Laura McHale for being there. She's someone who has been doing the work, the forgiveness work, and she has a real heart for working in the prison. And I was just so grateful that I got to have someone familiar with me that just the other day.
So powerful. So powerful. And, when you look at that, what needs to change in the game? Because here we've got someone who says, we're going to observe this person and put them in a padded cell so they don't get harmed. And the act of putting them in the padded cell and observing them harms them. The energetic dynamic of that. And we need to shift this whole game to a human dynamic rather than the non-human coldness of the way the game is structured. It's time to just bring the active presence of love into these dynamics, into this space. I really acknowledge, if you weren't listening to the show a few weeks ago, Rex shared how the warden was in a classroom where they talked about punishment, came to Laws of Living, and became just a full-fledged live participant and shared some of his trauma around punishment and authority issues. And that's what we need to do, is we need to introduce the whole system to this process of how does it look function like a human being in every circumstance, rather than what kind of cold, calculating financial systems have been set up to make money off of this. And so just I just want to acknowledge everybody involved for their dedication and their willingness and for joining in. Let's take this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And I'll just throw in once again the title of the new book, The End of Suffering. It's time for us to shift that dynamic on the planet and to wake up to who we are and to live as human beings, this presence of love that we're designed to be. And the game can change.
And I'd like to also acknowledge that I did a worksheet in my head, and having done one on paper, it really is the way to do it. Much more effective. And I'm so glad that I can do it in my head. And the benefit of doing it on paper is so obvious to me. I see what I've written.
Yeah.
Marianne?
Yeah.
Hey, Rex.
Hi. I don't know what happened, but I've been interacting with you two or three times, and I wasn't able to be heard, and I disengaged and reengaged, and evidently we got it straightened out. So I had a couple questions for you. One is, what time are you going in and doing your work in the prison of the day, and what day?
Okay. It hasn't been decided yet. We have two more times where we are to be with a mentor, and I'll be coming to Heartland for August and part of September, so it'll be when I come back that I actually get to do the teaching.
Oh, then I get to see you in August. I'm so excited about that.
Oh, I'm excited. I am so excited. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Go ahead.
One of the things we'll do, there are several teachers who are showing up for this Laws of Living, so I plan for the teachers in particular, both at the beginning of the intensive and at the end of the intensive, to be doing a special session on the evaluation so that everybody can have a deeper comprehension of that evaluation and how it relates to the work and how to utilize it as a tool. So that will be part of it. You know, we're going to have you there, Marianne. Rex will be there. And Susan Darnell is going to be here. Michelle's going to be here. You know, it's going to be awesome to have that gathering of teachers. And so we'll be doing some extra work with the evaluation for everybody that's going to be teaching.
Fantastic. And Marianne, I also wanted to ask you, are you working with a female prison or male prison?
There are 12 units for the males and 2 for the females, so I have a choice.
Oh, interesting. What an interesting dynamic. And lastly, I wanted to mention that, and I'm sure you're getting a feel of it, having been in there, and excuse me, two things. One, be really conscious of your patterns as they surface, because they definitely will. And I know you're chuckling because it's like, hello.
No.
They'll definitely come up. And then in addition to that, my invitation is to be really patient with the system. And what I mean by that is I went in thinking I was just going to walk in, and, you know, I had this, I think at the moment I didn't realize it, but it was somewhat of an arrogant idea that we're going to really get in there and we're going to change the world. And the truth is, that's happening, but it happens in Ruka's time, not mine. And I would encourage you to be patient with your movement and how it looks like it might progress really slow. We've been doing it now for over a year, and it's really starting to take effect. And it took a year to really get that happening in the system. So, and it's just now starting to open up from what I can tell. That doesn't mean that you've got to do it either. Go ahead, Michael.
I think, Rex, that part of that is that in that system, I mean, they've seen and been subject to, and to use the world's language, victim of every con that's ever come down the pike. I mean, they've seen it. So the trust level for people working within that system tends to be let's say, challenged. And rightfully so. I mean, they've been scammed every which way but loose. You know, I mean, to the point where, you know, you can't put a book in their hands unless it's come from the publisher, because they've had knives put in, you know, the binding of a book. I mean, everything you can imagine. So to build trust, and I think that's really great input, is that patience. And it's going to take time for those who've been scammed every which way but loose and hurt and damaged by it in many cases. It's going to take time for them to watch and go, this really is trustworthy. This really is here to do what it says it's here to do. And I acknowledge you, and I acknowledge Michelle for your stick-to-it-ness, and everybody that's been part of your process, gone in and supported and assisted with that. It's just, it's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Marianne, I'm excited about what you're doing and the impact you're going to have in that area, and, you know, spreading the material out. And what I'm excited also about the dynamic of us doing it in different states and different cities, and then bringing this material forth into the prison system, and that's going to affect huge change as well, because we're multiplying and magnifying. So it's really exciting. I feel the love and the support from your work and your intention and your consciousness. So thank you so much. And thank you, Michael, Jeannie, and everybody.
And we invite everybody, whatever community you're in, you know. If you're living a nice, comfortable little life where you take care of yourself and you got your stuff and that's it, it's time for everyone who has access to the tools to take a step out on another level. What does it take? What can you do? And maybe it's a kindergarten class down the block at the school at the end of the road. Maybe it's the prison system. Maybe it's just the local church group. But we invite you to look at, is there something you can do to take this on a deeper level into your community? Is there some service that you can render to those around you that you are not currently rendering? If you look at the Aramaic beatitude that, you know, historically is translated as looking at this idea of how do you become, and if you look at the beatitudes, there's one of the beatitudes that talks about they will be called the children of God. It says the peacemakers. It's like that's an easy Greek translation, or comes from the Greek translations. But in Aramaic, what that says is that implanted in you is a neural structure that becomes conscious when through service you bring forward the peace and understanding under and in accord with the Creator's will. That's how you become categorized in one of the children of the Creator. And so we just invite everybody to consider, what could you be doing if you're in some sort of a restricted space and you're not reaching out? What barrier would you have to break to be part of the team that changes the world? And that's what we're doing. Dr. Tim, do you have any thoughts for us at this juncture? We're getting close to completion point. We're down to about 5 or 6 minutes.
Well, I would just say that there's one of the things that comes up sometimes when we're talking about the energies earlier in the show. People tend to get the idea that we're saying anger and fear and sadness and hurt, that these are bad things, and we have to run away from them or chase them out or cut them out of our lives. And I like to come back to acknowledging that whatever I'm feeling is part of what the Creator set up for me. And it's not about judging it as bad or wrong, but it's about learning what role it can play in directing me back to that conscious awareness of my true nature as love. So if I look at the negative emotions as an alarm to wake me up to the fact that there's something wrong with my thought process, my internal energies, my downloads from my parents growing up or the ancestors, then I can focus on using tools to remove that from my energy system rather than blaming somebody else for it or falling into that role of victim, as you were talking about. And that's a real tricky thing because it comes up almost every time we get a new person in the group and we start talking about the anger and the fear and the negative emotions blocking my intelligence and my perception and coloring my perception and my guidance. And some people get very very sure that they've heard us say that anger is bad and fear is bad, and that's really not an accurate representation of how this work views those energies. They're just energies. And it's what I do with them, and if I recognize how they fit in the system, then I can use them to my advantage, and if I don't, then I can create the sense that I'm a victim of them.
Good info, good reminders. Good reminders. We've definitely, you know, been given an awesome gift that tells us when our creative process is off base, and if we're listening, we can go, oh, good warning signal, you know. Fire alarms are wonderful. Of course, nobody wants a fire. Nobody ever wants to hear the alarm go off. Is the alarm bad? No. But the fire's not so useful. And so to recognize that if the fire alarm goes off, which is, you know, the equivalent in the human system is that hostility and fear system, it's just warning us. It's just giving us information. And awesome that we have that information to keep us on track. Pretty cool. And so we're down to the last, let's see, about 2 minutes. And so, Rex, any final thoughts? Marianne, any final thoughts?
Thank you, everyone, for all the support and the love and the energy. And I'm just going into an appointment, so I just want to say how much I appreciate everyone and all the work that we're all doing. Blessings, everyone.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Rex.
And Marianne has dropped off. She's dropped off.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, if anybody's ready to take your work to the next level, we start on Monday with a 9-day, why is this happening to you again? You're certainly welcome to come and join us. We've got space. It's going to be a relatively small group, so it'll be pretty intensive. That will start on Monday evening if you're wanting to join us right here in Heartland and see those from the group come and play. And we'll finish that 9-day and go right into a teacher training course. And the teacher training is designed for people who want to deepen their experience of the forgiveness process or want to keep. And then we'll move into a 16-day laws of living. And so, and we're going to have several teachers here, so it's going to be a pretty awesome experience. So if you're ready to take your work to the next level, jump on whyagain.org, take a look at the schedule, register, come and be with us. In the meantime, we invite you to think about how can you, through service, bring the understanding that you're gathering through this work to a wider community. We would much appreciate your support in that regard. And in the meantime, the most awesome gift you can give the world is to create the best year yet of your eternal life. And we're here to support you doing that. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.